Hey, y'all, if you haven't had a chance yet to listen to part one of my interview with Chris Kane, I'd strongly encourage you to go back and listen to that one before moving on to episode two with Chris. Otherwise, it'll be like eating chips without queso. For those of you who did have a chance to listen to the first episode with Chris, just to refresh your memory, she talked about some amazing things. Listening to Chris is like drinking grace from a fire hose. She talked about the subtlety of the enemy in that we are always on our mind. She talked about the difference between being driven and being drawn to God. She talked practically about how to go from a victim mentality to a redemptive mentality. Listen to episode one, y'all. It gives you some incredible context for episode two.
By the way, until I come back, see that, Scott, I'm coming back. Until I come back, here's your job profile. You need to go into all the world and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So until the church understands that our job is to make Jesus's last command our first priority,
Say that again. That's profound. Jesus' last command, our first priority.
Well, that's what the problem with the world is, that we, the church, have forgotten. And we've made it the great suggestion rather than understanding it's a commission. And that if I'm in any armed forces and the general gives me a command, I'm doing what he said until he tells me something new to do.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead.
Welcome to Out of the Ashes with Inquis and Mommy.
Thank you, B. That was perfect. Hey, y'all. I'm Lisa Harper, and you're listening to the Life with Lisa Harper podcast. We're calling season one Out of the Ashes because during each episode, we're walking through stories of redemption, essentially stories of people who have walked through tough stuff and found that God is perfectly good even when life is really, really hard. Chris, I want to revisit something you said because I bet you, Nicole, somebody just almost dropped what they were doing to lean in because you said, my abusers meant evil for me. And we don't talk about evil much in the world today. That's kind of an unpopular term, but you said they meant it for my evil. Will you unpack that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I look at it in my life. I look at it at traffickers with the victims of trafficking. I've sat in court cases and you know, for people that don't believe evil, you just need to come to work with me for one day,
right,
and see what humans have the capacity to do
Would
to one another.
Tell about the guy, what he's testified in court when
he said, where I come from, the country, the judge said to him, you know, why are you trafficking
right.
these women? And he said, well, where I come from, people either traffic people, guns, or drugs. And the fine, the penalty for trafficking humans is so much less mm-hmm. than for trafficking drugs and
right.
armaments. And he said, and besides that, you know, she's like a dog. You could just kick her. She'll do what you want her to do. And I just remember Nick and I, like, just could not even believe that was
yeah.
you know, just like nothing. Like, it's
yeah.
not a person. It's like not,
yeah.
well, which to them, it's not. It's a commodity. Yeah, we have right. a program at A21 called Bodies Are Not Commodities
right.
because they are just bought and sold
yeah.
for as a commodity. And so there is evil. And,
well, and we've got a lot of people listening who don't think there's literal evil and don't think there's a literal hell. And I think that's one of the places, too. It's hard to get out of the ashes when you don't recognize
Well,
them.
That's the whole bottom line. And so I think we have to understand there is evil. I mean,
yeah.
you can't tell me what's happening in the world today is
that's
not
right.
evil. And I think we all intuitively, we do know it. And most
right.
people know that there's a line, because evil always tends to be the one step that I wouldn't cross over that
right.
line. So it's always like, you know,
right.
everything I am is okay until
right.
the line I wouldn't cross, that suddenly becomes
right.
evil. God just has a different standard for
right.
what that is. That's the
right.
whole thing. He's the one that really sets that in line. But I think a lot of us can't get past often where we think someone meant something, and
mm-hmm.
whether that evil, I mean, when we're talking we're talking sexual abuse in my case, we're talking traffic victims, but I'm talking about people who even have come under verbal abuse or been bullied at school or just
right.
been, you know, where someone meant that
some
what
of the
they
stuff
said,
we both experienced online.
Yes, where people
just vitriol.
Come out, you go,
yeah.
oh, they're just like meaning
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to defame you, to demoralize you.
Mm-hmm.
The point I wanted to make from that scripture in Genesis 50:20 is that Joseph knew that they meant it. That doesn't
mm-hmm.
excuse it.
Right.
But it says, I need you to know that there's a sovereign God that loves me, that's
right.
got a greater plan.
Right.
And if you can not let what they say about you or do to you be greater than what Jesus did for you,
mm-hmm.
you will work through it. And
right.
so you've got to proactively do it. I do, you do.
Right.
It's not like water off a duck's back, I don't care. But the point is that God will redeem it if
yeah.
you continue to walk through it with God.
Right.
And I think a lot of us, sometimes we can handle it more if we think it was just an accident, or we make up,
right.
we
right.
even make up lies in our head to go, they didn't really mean it.
Right.
When what I'm trying to say to you is, maybe they did and it's still going to be okay.
Right.
Maybe they did mean it.
Right.
That's not good. That doesn't lessen you because
That's
they
right.
meant it. That doesn't devalue you. And I think I've carried the shame of that for, you know, my
oh,
past.
Yeah, me too.
Where,
I thought I deserved it.
Yeah, exactly. It's because they meant it in some way, shape,
mm-hmm.
or form. And then I tried to cover them. I can't even tell you how many of the abusers then I know they really didn't mean it. It wasn't really
right.
that bad. And it was. And
right.
it's just like, it just makes things worse.
Right.
When you go, hang on a minute, you can even have meant it, and it still ultimately doesn't have the power to take me out.
Right.
That's the deal.
Right. I love that you have, there's always this actionable element of who you are. I have thought of you oftentimes when I reread about once a year, Elie Wiesel's book, Night,
oh, yeah.
where he says, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
Yes.
And I think your life is the antithesis of indifference. And a lot of us would have gotten stuck. There's always this forward redemptive motion in you, not just the way you live, not just the way you live with your family or your little corner. You go, I am going to, in effect,
yeah.
make you pay, devil.
Totally. Well, that's what I think. And I think that's where scripture actually promises that. And so you can. It's like, I want to put my feet on the ground every day. And he's like, heck, she's up. She's up again.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
I should have left her alone.
Yeah.
I should have left her alone.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, absolutely. And
yeah.
it's not because I'm great. It's because Jesus is great.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has the victory and me
yeah.
in him. Oh, there's, I could scale a wall. I could take on a troop. Right. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think it's just like, come on, get some gumption. You go, right. like, we're not just a weak-willed little mm-hmm. woman. I've got mm-hmm. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Zach, right. are you kidding me? Same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead yeah. lives on the inside of yeah. me. I'm like, no, not today, devil. No.
Right. Right. So he didn't just bring us out of the ashes for our own little self-esteem. Mm-mm. It's so that the world will see Jesus.
Absolutely. That's how he is glorified. Yeah. You know, let your light so shine before men, why, that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so if you're so busy murmuring, grumbling and complaining, you're going to die in the wilderness. I want to do some good works so yeah. they might glorify my Father yeah. in heaven.
Yeah. A message you bring that is so, from my vantage point, really unique, especially in American Christianity, which is where I've spent the majority of my life, pain has been a hurdle as opposed to a path.
Right.
And you say, okay, God in his sovereignty didn't cause this. He didn't cause the yeah. horrific abuse, really systemic abuse yes. in your life. He didn't cause that. But out of that, there's going to be this progressive redemption. Most people go, I'm stuck here because woe is me. This wasn't fair. There are these hurdles based around me. People have, and so it becomes a distraction from actually God can and will use that for good. If totally. You go, pain can be productive. We're not sadist here. We're not masochists. But to say in the sovereignty of God, if he's allowed it, then part of the pain, I think, in your life is what has fueled your passion. Because you know what it means to be absolutely missed. And it's like, no, he saw me.
Yes.
He saw me. He rescued me. And so nobody needs to be missed or marginalized like I am, so that like I was. So the pain that you experienced, to me, fuels so much of what you're doing that's redemptive.
Well, definitely. And it's always out of the broken pieces. I always think when, you know, Jesus was feeding the 5,000 while he kept breaking.
Yeah.
It kept yeah. multiplying. So I think yeah. a lot of that is we think the breaking disqualifies us, but I have found in my own experience, right. it is what has qualified me. And it's yeah. never my strengths necessarily. I don't think that feed the masses, but it's my broken
That's
places.
Right.
That's where
it's
it comes yeah. down to. So there's not yeah. a glorying in that. Because here's the deal. I was abused for 12 years. Nothing will ever change that. Right. You know, the blood of Jesus does not give us amnesia.
Right.
And so it's not like it didn't happen. But I'm 52 years old, which means I actually have not been being abused for right. 40 years.
Right.
So the devil stole enough. Why would I give him right. any more?
Right.
Why would I spend my entire time on right. planet Earth talking about a 12-year season or living as a, you know, kind of imprisoned to that 12-year period, when what Jesus has done is given me a life beyond my past.
That's
now,
right.
if I don't believe that and I don't live that, I have no business rescuing anybody
no.
from anything because
no.
I can't look at a little Thai girl that I've got in my care now, 6 years old, that at 3 years old was forced to dance 18 hours a day and drugged, you know, to
support her family.
Yeah, to support her family. How could I look her in the eye
mm-hmm.
with any kind of integrity mm-hmm. and say, I really believe Jesus Christ can
right.
heal you,
right.
that in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can have a future, you can have a hope, yeah. you can have a purpose. I think if we don't really believe that, and I wonder if we do. I think the only reason we wouldn't walk in victory this side of it is that we don't actually believe it. And if you can't believe it for you, you'll never believe it for anybody
no.
else.
Okay, when you got saved when you were 18, 19?
Yeah, 21, let's say.
Okay,
yeah.
okay. But you were already passionate. You already had this strength of personality. You already go in places. You just, it was not at all what God had called you to. What was it when you heard the gospel? Because you were raised in a relatively... Well, at least you're
an Orthodox home.
Greek
yeah.
Orthodox home. I was going to say religious, even though I know your parents weren't.
But we went to church. I went to church every Sunday, yeah.
Okay. So you knew who God was, at least in theory.
Yes.
What was it about the gospel when you heard it as a young woman who had to have a million walls to stay protected from, really from people who loved you but who had abused you?
Mm-hmm.
For you to actually respond to the gospel, we all know that's miraculous. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But do you remember what was said? Like, what was it, the sentence Brian used? What was it that made you go, oh, it's true and he sees me? This is not a religious system this is freedom for me. This
I
is
think
hope
it was a journey because, you know, a few times I'd heard the gospel when I would go from, because in Australia you could only go to Protestant religious education or Catholic. Okay. And because I was Orthodox, I had to go to the Catholic. So okay. It wasn't until I used to sneak out of the religious education classes into the Protestant class at the back
in
to
high school?
Like listen. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that I could kind of hear it because it interested me. And so there were glimpses there of a loving God. And I would say it's at 21 years old, I saw it. I saw the love of God and that someone like me could be forgiven because I thought, you know, at least I had so many patterns of destructive behavior. I was in so many and in particular two really wrong relationships. And so I thought I had committed the unforgivable sin.
Yeah.
Very Greek Orthodox kind of theology is like, you know. And so I thought I was going to hell. And then I remember how I first started to come back was, well, even if I'm going to go to hell, I want to spend my life helping nobody else have to go to hell. Like that's okay. As warped as that is,
I'm
going to
lay across the grease tube that leads there, so nobody else steps on the hole.
So nobody else has to go in there because it's too late for me.
Yeah.
But it's bound to. Yeah, I can help everybody else. So there was that sort of evangelist call in me somewhere. Yeah. I needed a little bit of theological tweaking
even before you were saved.
Even before I was saved, I was still like, I'm going to hell. You don't have to. I'd be like traveling around the world on you know a trip, and I'd be telling everyone, you know, because I think there was this knowledge.
You wanted to believe
it. I wanted it so much, but I thought I disqualified myself.
Yeah.
I thought I was just too sinful and all the shame from what had happened to me, you know, that I thought was all my fault. But it was in a moment, which is the moment of salvation. That's why forever we'll call people to come to faith in Christ, where it just, you know, the stereotype, it drops from your head to the heart for a second. I had a glimpse. God allowed me to feel that he loved me.
Yeah.
And I know everyone's ridiculing nowadays the simplicity of, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So I didn't know anything else because I was Orthodox, so I didn't know anything really. But that song, I'd heard someone sing it. And as dumb as it sounds, I was like bawling my eyes out singing Jesus loves me, this I know. I know it's that, but that I would say was my biggest turnaround moment.
When he takes that veil, it's simple, but the profundity of him seeing us on our worst day and saying, you're worth it to me, that will soften the hardest heart.
Totally.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you could say anything to a woman or a man or child who's listening, maybe they're like you know, they're listening to this podcast while they're running their guts out on an elliptical, and they feel stuck, and they feel like, okay, goodness, I identify with her because she doesn't come from this perfect life. She hasn't been coddled. I mean, she definitely has some ashes in her background, but they feel stuck. And they go, Chris, I just don't have your personality type. I don't have that much energy. I don't have that much faith. How would you encourage them to get out of the ashes?
Yeah, I think you've got to want to is the start. When I say stop having excuses, you know, freedom is not a personality type. It's not an Enneagram number. It's not where you fit on the DISC profile. It's not even a love language. Freedom is a blood type. It's the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that sets us free. And I think we need to get there because I think we put way too much emphasis on ourselves. Like, what is it, your personality or your Enneagram number that's going to get you saved or free? Are you serious? I think Jesus did all of that.
That's right.
So it's not a matter of like, do I need more? God has given us all a measure of faith. That's, you know, in the Bible. The deal is that you've got to want it. And, you know, Scripture says according to your earnest expectation. I think it starts with wanting it. You know, the man that said, I believe, help my unbelief.
Right.
And I think it's almost like if you could start there, that goes, okay, like okay, I'm listening to this podcast. I sort of do believe, but I help my unbelief because I really don't believe it for me.
His son's
dying.
You
do. That's it.
And he's going, I cannot do this. I think a lot of people are going, okay, I believe all this as far as kind of the theology of it, but emotionally, I'm not so sure I can put one more foot in front of
the
other.
And I think you have to just own it, that place, because that's where I started. It's like, okay, well, and so you're listening going, well, you did it for Chris Kane. Okay, well, I believe it for her, but not for me.
Right.
And I think most people, that's where it gets to is I believe it. I remember sitting in the back of church and I'd be hearing sermons, you know, that God, and I would, for a while, I would think, yeah, but you don't know my story. Sure, but you don't know how I was abused. And you don't know what I did of my own volition, you know, let alone.
Right.
And I'm sure people listening to this going, yeah, that's okay, Chris, but you don't know mine. You don't know mine.
Right.
And until you get to that place where it goes, well, God, I really don't believe it, but if you could do it for her, and you want to do it for me. To me, that's a starting point.
Right.
I'm just like, you got to start somewhere. And the starting somewhere starts with I kind of sort of maybe do want it, but I really don't think that it can. But okay, let's go. And the good thing is in 2018 compared to when I started in 1990, the resources that are available now, when you've got it broken, there are incredible resources. There are incredible. There was not a podcast I could have listened to. I mean, there was not. It didn't exist. The internet didn't exist when I got saved. Yes, back then, and so there wasn't books. There was one book on abuse. Dan Allender had written The Wounded.
It was
wounded,
amazing. Wounded Heart.
Wounded Heart.
Yeah, because Nouwen wrote The Wounded Healer. And they're both amazing.
And it was like early 90s, but before that, there was like nothing.
No.
Like nothing.
Yeah.
And so. I think the fact
that people
now,
just wanted you to speak from when you could wrap a bow around it and you had an acrostic and you didn't deal with pain at all anymore, instead of, you know what, I still deal with pain.
Totally.
But I lean into Jesus and it's become productive rather than something that's paralyzed.
It is, and you
kind of
know
me.
It's helping your sanctification. Yeah. I don't run from pain like I used to. I don't, I embrace it. I don't like it. Nobody likes
it. Well,
of
course
not. But there is no doubt that every time God, and I mean, I've just come out of a deeply painful 2-year period. It's a whole different way, but a lot of loss, starting with my mother's death, my sister-in-law, my husband's now in Australia, you know, his sister's dying, and a friend's betrayal, a really painful accusation that just, you know, was so off-center. And so you go, it was like, it's been a 2-year, like just, I said to the Lord just, you know, a week ago, I go, really? I mean, how much more do you think I can tell? You know, just when you think the doctor, you know, has to re-break your leg to set it right. I'm like, we've done like a couple
time.
Of years of setting, of breaking here. Like, are we about done?
Yeah.
You know, but even having said that, I actually am anticipating and eager to see what's going to come on the other side.
Oh,
because God does such a great work in his healing process. You get so much more than you bargain for.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, I spent a year studying Job and I called you about this enough. But there's that part of Job. I'm not saying all pain is divinely causative by any stretch. However, there's a place in Job where you recognize pain in the hands of God is a promotion.
Right.
He says, I believe you can carry this in a way that will bring me glory. I think especially in the last 2 years, what I've watched you deal with and not be broken, but also go, okay, Lord, this is not pleasant. This is painful. However, I'm going to trust whatever you're doing is going to be for my good and your glory. I've seen this, I've just seen a greatness in you that's come from hard places, not from all the accolades, not from, oh, I'm going to share the best, you know, preacher, speaker, communicator I've ever heard, not from the global success. It's really been from from pain. That's where I've seen just this kiln of greatness for you. Now, before I totally praise you, I want to go to a place that I think is deep weeds, but I love this about you because you said today, I still believe in evangelism.
Yeah.
And to be an evangelist is nowadays almost a shameful place. It seems like even in evangelical communities, yeah, we want to go, oh, no. Don't talk about the exclusivity of Jesus. Let's just talk about the accessibility of Jesus. But we don't want to say he is the only way. That's one of the things, as your friend, sometimes I get so tickled watching you because I'm like, she's just going to go for it. She is not dancing for the approval of other people. It is like, here's the Bible. I believe it. I believe it's still authoritative.
Yeah.
People would have seen you as, I think in the past, almost as being, oh, she's wild. She'll talk about everything. She's not going to hold anything back. She's going to be completely honest. And now some people are branding you as being hyper-conservative because you still believe people get saved.
Oh, totally. 100. What hope is there without it?
There isn't.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And so...
And you'll die on that hill, won't you?
I'll die on it. Are you kidding me? Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life.
Yeah.
No one. And, you know, I'm not a scholar like you, Lisa, but my understanding of Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, no one means no one comes to the Father but by me. And
right.
So it's not rocket science. How gracious of God to tell us how to access him and to send us his son, Jesus. So to me, Jesus is highly inclusive. Scripture says, whosoever will.
That's right.
Whosoever will. But I think we've confused it because we've turned it into whosoever will everyone is.
Right.
Okay, whosoever will is not who everyone is saved. Whosoever will, so anybody can come, but there is only one way to God.
That's so right.
Whosoever will can come
That's
to
right.
Jesus, and Jesus is the way. So highly inclusive and extremely exclusive. There
That's
is
right.
an exclusivity to the gospel.
Right.
And Scripture
and
says...
And the element of repentance.
Of course it is.
And we've left out, now go and sin no more. It's just,
well, it's quite,
come,
I think,
but don't change
people
anything
not
about
understanding
your life.
It's, well, I think you're changing the character and nature of God because Scripture says it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance.
Right.
So if we keep telling everyone there's nothing to repent from, we're
right.
trying to say God's not kind.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm like, I can't quite work that out
right.
because I'm like, okay, repentance was so freeing for me, Lisa.
Well, see, I was
That's
just going to say,
repentance
please tie
is what has,
repentance with restoration.
Well, it's
so
everything.
We've talked about the restoration
there is no restoration
of your life.
Without
right.
repentance. How can there be?
Right.
And so it was liberating, and it still is. Anytime I repent now, it's like there's a freedom
right.
that comes with that. And you cannot experience healing without
right.
repentance.
That's right.
And so I think if we try to take repentance out of the equation, I'm like, y'all, this is messed up. This is messed up on 1,000 levels.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine and she's like, well, you know, don't you wish you could just say everything's okay and don't you wish you could just, you know, people that maybe universalists, all roads lead
right,
to Rome
right,
and
right.
Jesus died for everyone once,
right.
say, you know,
right.
and don't you just wish you could go there with them and that everyone can choose to do what they want? You could marry who you want. You can, you know, express yourself how you want. You can, and I said to my friend, I go, no. Because then you're actually saying there's something wrong with God.
That's right.
Because God actually set up this system, which means he knows what is best.
Right.
So how can I say that I'm more compassionate than God?
Yeah.
That I love people better than God does? That I have the capacity to love more people than God does?
Yeah.
So if God has set up a system of atonement, salvation, repentance, and then on top of that, Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, so already separated earthly lifetime, 33 years from the Father.
Yeah.
You'd think straight from the resurrection, he's going straight home to
right.
Dad.
Right.
He thinks it's important enough to go, coming, Dad, just got a detour back on planet
right.
Earth. Give me 50
right.
days.
Right.
Just got to go back because I need to give them their job profile.
That's right.
Because I'm their commander in chief and I need to tell them, by the way, until I come back, see that sky, I'm coming back. Until I come back, here's your job profile. You need to go into all the world and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So until the church understands that our job is to make Jesus' last command our first priority,
Say that again. That's profound. Jesus' last command, our first priority.
Well,
that's profound.
That's what the problem with the world is, that we, the church, have forgotten, and we've made it the great suggestion rather than understanding it's a commission, and that if I'm in any armed forces and the general gives me a command, I'm doing what he said until he tells me something new to do. Yeah. Last I checked, I haven't been given any new instructions. So he bypassed. He didn't go straight home. Came here. Said, I need you all to know this. This is what it is. So this is my last commandment to you. This must be your, this is the only priority between my two advents. Right. I've already risen. I'm coming back.
Right.
Your job on planet Earth as the church of, as my church, as my body, this is what I need you to be doing. And can you help me to understand, Lisa, how we've lost sight of that priority? Because I don't know.
I think we've got a whole lot of people who don't believe the Bible who call themselves Christians.
Well, I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, and there's an element of faith where we so want to be able to see it, prove it, and I'm like, it wouldn't be called faith otherwise. There's an unseenness to the sovereignty of God. We just have to lean into and go, he's bigger than me. When you were saying that, I thought one of the things I love the most about you is your absolute trust in our Creator Redeemer. But Chris, if anybody had an emotional excuse to go, I'm not so sure he's safe. Because if he is a safe God who is worthy of my absolute trust, then why did this happen to me at the beginning of my story? Mm-hmm. How did you not become mistrustful of a God who many would say allowed abuse or didn't stop abuse from happening to you? Because I think that's where some people never get out of the ashes. It's that age-old question of why me?
And suffering.
You don't keep going around that
mountain. No, I can't. I wouldn't be rescuing anyone if I kept staying in that pit. But here's the deal. I think we confuse understanding with trust.
Yeah.
So I don't have to understand to trust.
Yeah.
So understanding is a head issue. Trust is a heart issue. And
that's so good.
You know, if Scripture says that God is light and in him there is no darkness. Now, Lisa, I trust, even though I don't understand, I trust that God has no dark side. Now, my abusers had a dark side.
Yeah.
The traffickers I put in jail have a dark side. I have a dark side. But God, he doesn't have a dark side. So I don't understand it, but that's my head. But, you know, and I think really that's a message of Habakkuk, isn't it?
Yeah.
That the fig tree doesn't prosper, though there's no fruit on the vine. Look, I don't get it. I don't understand, but I trust, yet I will still praise the Lord. And I guess, you know, in today's day and age of scientific rationalism and postmodernity and secularism and humanism, it sounds dumb. And I guess to be a Christian in the 21st century, you're going to have to actually be okay with people thinking you're dumb and you're simplistic and you're naive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a day of scientific rationalism, you're just an idiot to believe that. And I guess maybe I am. And I don't know if I'm a, whatever I am. It's like and I think no matter how loving and inclusive and gracious and kind I am, at the end of the day, the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. Yeah. And Christians have to accept that, not everyone's going to love it no matter what. You can include, you can change your theology and you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. You can include whoever you want to include. But at the end of the day, you're going to have one hill that you're going to have to stand on, which is, did Jesus Christ die on the cross for the sins of humanity?
That's right.
Is he coming back again? Is there no other way to God but through Jesus Christ? And that means all other religions are not right. And that means there's other way. So to be prepared, and you can include and love and endorse whatever you want to do in the process. You're still going to be, you know, criticized massively if that's where you're going to land, because the cross is foolishness. The fact that I have to admit, because what it really comes down to is I have to basically admit I'm a sinner.
Right.
And I needed someone to atone for my sin.
You can save yourself.
And there is nothing I can do to save myself. There is nothing I can do.
Yeah.
People think you're dumb. So that's what it comes down to.
You get rather comfortable in feeling dumb. And where I think I feel, I have so much gratitude, is I can still smell smoke. We talk about out of the ashes. I remember what he saved me from.
Totally.
And so you can accuse me of being dumb. I would rather be dumb with peace.
Oh, yeah.
And not be able to rationally explain everything about a perfect, unknowable God with my dinky human mind and vocabulary and go, he is who he says he is, and I'm not him.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about your testimony is I look at you, and I think so many people would have written you off or just missed you completely. And you look at how he's taken you from marginalized obscurity on the backside of Australia to preaching around the globe, seeing hundreds of thousands of people come to know Jesus intimately because of your story. And I go, it just reminds me of David and Goliath at some level, because I think we have missed that story. We make it all about David, but the people watching didn't make it all about David. They went, whose God his God to use the squirt with a slingshot to fell this giant? And I always praise God when I look at your life. You're amazing. You're gifted. You know, I think you hung the moon. You better than sliced bread. But I don't stop at you.
No.
I go, only God could take this and make it and bring himself glory.
Totally.
It's amazing.
And the same God that did it for me can do it for anyone. That's really my message is yes, he can.
I love your ashes.
I love you. Come on.
I want to say I love your big fat ashes.
I like the beauty.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Life with Lisa Harper podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, and I sure hope you did, I would really appreciate it if you subscribed and gave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The introduction music was provided by my almost little brother, Tim Halperin, who also co-produces this podcast with me. Life with Lisa Harper will be releasing episodes on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. We sure hope you'll keep listening.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.